passing fright. Ah, I have to admit, I love it all. I have always loved Halloween, especially here in St. Denis, where we do the holiday justice. Just last month, I sat in on the planning committee for this year's Halloween parade, and I have to say it's going to be glorious fun. We're going to close down Charles Street and have the children parade right through the center of town to the marina, where we'll give out prizes for the best costumes and award all the participants with ice cream made especially for the occasion by Steffi at Scoop and apples from Madison's Orchards. All the merchants in town have contributed something to the festivities, mostly in the form of prizes, and I love that the entire community is involved. We have selected our Halloween queen, as we do every year, but of course my lips are sealed, as it's a huge no-no to reveal her identity until the day of the parade. As far as I know, no one has ever let that cat out of the bag prematurely. It would simply take away the fun of it all. But I will say that this year's selection is especially fitting and will be met with universal approval, I believe. Then later, there's the traditional trick-or-treat for the children, and later still, a bonfire on the square. It seems like only yesterday I was dressing my children in their costumes and shepherding them into town for the parade. Dan would take the three of them, Daniel, Lucy, and Ford, trick-or-treating among the friends and neighbors and family in town, and bring them home hours later, exhausted and dragging pillowcases stuffed with enough treats to last for weeks. No thoughts of razor blades or poison candy bars back then, although one year someone did slip a couple of dog biscuits into Ford's bag, much to his dismay. Those were indeed good old days. My Dan was still alive, and we were all together, all five of us, under the same roof every night. When I closed my eyes to fall asleep, I knew where all three of my precious children were. That's a claim I haven't been able to make in many years, much to my sorrow. Oh, well, perhaps someday. Grace. Chapter 1.
At the moment the moon began its descent and the sun started to rise, the back door of the old farmhouse opened and a petite woman with a long strawberry blonde ponytail stepped out onto the porch. Brooke Madison Bowers hesitated for a moment before walking on bare feet through the cool, dew-covered grass that was a week overdue for a mowing. When she reached the small fence-enclosed garden, she pushed aside the squeaky gate and headed for the stone bench, where she sat alone in the soft shadows and the hush of the new day, until the dawn began to break in earnest. The backs of her thighs drew the chill from the damp stone despite the sweatpants she wore, and she shifted uncomfortably. She pulled up her legs and wrapped her arms around them, and wished she'd grabbed a jacket on her way through the kitchen. Shoes would have been nice, too. Goosebumps rose on her arms under her sweatshirt, and she thought it would be especially nice if the sun, now just nudging over the smallest of the three barns, would move just a little faster. Light silently fanned out across fields she'd played in once upon a time. The memory of chasing their dogs through the rows of corn was so fresh, so real. She had to stop and mentally tally just how many years it had been since she'd been a child. That many? Really? The dogs were long gone, and her life had taken many an unexpected road since they'd romped together. It was hard to believe that the one-time Miss Blue Claw and Miss Eastern Shore, the golden girl, the beauty queen, the girl most likely to succeed, was once again living on her family farm, sleeping under the familiar red roof with her mother down the hall to the left in the room she'd shared with Brooke's father for 42 years, and her brother two doors down to the right. Deja vu all over again. Except that it wasn't. For one thing, her father had passed away 2 years ago. For another, the room next to Brooke now belonged to her son. The biggest change of all was that the once happy-go-lucky girl was now a not-so-merry widow.
Brooke, you out there?
Her brother called to her as he crossed the yard. She'd been so lost in thought, she'd heard neither the back door nor his footsteps. Here, Clay, in the herb garden. He pushed through the gate, telling her,
I've got coffee.
You're a good brother.
The best.
He handed her a mug of coffee and took a seat next to her on the bench.
Thanks.
Sure.
Clay stretched his long legs out in front of him and took a deep breath.
Everything okay? How are your finances holding up?
Fine. Between Eric's benefits and the life insurance and some investments, I'm fine.
You know,